Okay, this is the hour. Dolores is Cannon's final hour. We'll take phone calls with her when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Dolores, let's wrap up with Nostradamus, and then we'll go to the final phone calls for you, okay?
Okay, yeah, because that's one thing I found that I think is important. Like I said, he said if one person can control their own destiny, imagine the power of group mind. If you get groups of people focusing on one thing, like peace and harmony, you can create that. Because with group mind, the power is not only multiplied, it's squared. So that's what he wanted me to tell all over the world. And I've now come to the conclusion, some of you people out there might think it's a cop-out, but I think we have averted the worst, what he wanted us to do. And I think we're headed down another direction that's going to be very good. So I don't think the absolute worst that he saw is going to happen now. And this includes the Antichrist, because maybe we have lessened it. He kept saying, if you go down a different path of these probabilities and possibilities, you can lessen it or stop it, can keep it from happening if you know what's going to happen. Now, I filmed for the History Channel, and that show is being shown right now. It's called The Nostradamus Effect. When I filmed for it, I was trying to come up with this idea, that maybe we have averted it and are going down a different path and it won't be so bad. Well, they didn't use that information. The show is still focused on the Antichrist and the wars and all the horrible things that he saw. But he kept saying over and over again, these are the worst case scenarios. They don't have to happen. So on the History Channel, they used part of my interview, but not the part I was trying to stress anyway.
Okay, let's go to the calls. You ready?
Okay, I guess
so. Here we go. Let's go to David, Fort Myers, Florida. First time caller. David, you're on with Dolores Cannon.
Hello, George. I want to thank you for your shows and all the things you've done and taught everybody out there. It's really awesome.
Thank you, David.
My question is, when I heard her talking about the first wave, it's like I almost fell to pieces. I'm 47 years old, and when I was 9 years old, I told my mother one day, I said, Mom, somebody made a mistake. I don't belong here, and I want to go home. And she looked at me, and she said, what are you talking about? I said, I can't deal with this. I said, you people are driving me nuts with all the games that the people play with each other and struggles for control and power. And it just, and she just looked at me and shook her head. When I got to be like 17, I tried to commit suicide. I have a habit of seeing everything the way it is. And people, I've noticed that, if they don't like what they see, they go into denial, and they keep doing the same things over and over again. And as a human race, we've been doing that for thousands of years. My question for you is, do you have any recommendations for, like, people who are first wave that are experiencing these problems, what they should be doing or what they could possibly do to make it a little easier?
That's a big question, but I'll tell you what you were saying about your childhood, I've heard again and again and again. And so you're not alone out there. That's one thing people kept thinking, I'm the only one in the world who feels this way. But if you realize there are many others now who are going through the same things, that might help you. But they said the main thing you're here to do is to help other people. In whatever capacity you want to find, but to help other people, they wouldn't even have to understand why. But they said that's the main reason we're here on Earth is to help each other. I don't know if that helps or not.
Well, as far as, is there a way to, like, find these other people?
Well, you won't know them from anybody else, but I think you'll feel drawn to them.
Okay.
That you may find somebody else. If you get to talking to them, they might say, I don't like all this stuff on TV. I don't like the violence, the wars, and, you might find a more kindred spirits out there than you realize there are.
Dolores, tell us a little bit about some of these hidden underground cities. This fascinates me.
Okay, they've been there for thousands and thousands of years, because when Atlantis went down, instead of some of them perishing, they went underground. And a lot of these underground cities were built by the ETs way, way, way back. This is where they had their bases when they were forming everything on Earth. The surface of the Earth was too violent. They couldn't live there, so they built the underground cities. And their whole system of cities all throughout the surface of the Earth. And down there, they put what they call a miniature sun, is what people described when they saw it. So living there is just like living on Earth. They have plants, they have animals, that don't exist anymore. And they are so advanced that our computers don't even begin to touch what they can do. They have transportation systems that they said can go 3,000 miles an hour. Now it's not ETs so much as it is humans that have been there for so long, they have no desire to come to the surface of the Earth. The entrances to the underground cities are mostly under pyramids. This is one of the reasons why Hathi Sawas doesn't want a lot of exploration around the pyramids and the Sphinx.
Hmm.
But the pyramids all over the world were built on top of the entrances to these underground cities. And it's very active. It's a whole civilization down there, and they don't want to be involved with us, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, let's go next to Reba in Colville, Washington. Hey, Reba, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I'm also a seven life path and a four birth date.
Super.
So, yeah. Anyway, Dolores, I have always been psychic. I'm precognizant dreamer. I have out-of-body experiences. I'm earth sensitive. In fact, okay. I even called in and spoke with Art one evening, and this was 2 weeks prior to the Nisqually quake here in Washington State, and told him in detail about that quake before it happened.
Oh.
Now, I've also found out that I can channel for people, do cold channeling.
Yeah.
And I can remember back to, being only 2 weeks old. I seem to just know things. But now, I was born in 1948, and I'm wondering if there aren't others who fall into the categories that you have described that did come in prior to the dates that you gave. And is it possible that I might be one of them?
Well, 48 is still after the atomic bomb.
It's right in there, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard some people say, could I be an older first wave? But
right,
you definitely fit in the category, because many of these people are psychic. They do know things that are where they're going to happen. And some of them can remember being born. They remember back that far. So,
well, I actually remember before that. And I remember being with another little girl, and this was prior to being born. And mm-hmm. we were discussing our future lives and what they would be like and what we would do and what we would learn. And then she left before me. And then I remember I left, but the next thing I remember is being 2 weeks old in a park in Nebraska.
Okay. Well, see, I hear this constantly from people. Some of them do remember being on the other side in what we call the planning session, where they're deciding.
Right.
They have conscious memories of these things. They don't have to be put in trance to do it.
Well,
so,
I was not in trance. I have
no, that's what I mean. These people, these people have a conscious memory. That's what I mean. And I'm hearing this more and more. So it's becoming, you're not alone out there. There are many people like this. But I think because of your psychic abilities, you definitely would fall into this category. Because it hasn't been taken away by years and years of living on Earth and getting involved in karma. You haven't suffered from that, you know?
Yeah, the other thing is I'm very sensitive to antibiotics and things. Have you heard of that before?
Stay away from medicine, period. I am okay. I work with alternative medicine and natural healing with doctors all over the world, and I might give my class at the college in New Mexico where there's a four-year course in natural medicine. I'm involved with doctors who are doing this. They're accepting my work in with that. Stay away from all medications because they're bad for anyone. All medications and drugs have side effects. Natural things, herbs, do not. So don't take anything like that unless you would really, really have to.
Now, I do not have internet. How would one go about contacting you if one does not have internet?
Okay, George, is it okay if I give out my 800 number?
Sure, absolutely. Doris.
Okay, it's 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. You'll get my office, but somebody there can help you.
Oh, that's wonderful. And thank you so much for your help.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Reba, thank you, too. Let's move next to East of the Rockies. We're going to a person named Anonymous.
Anonymous. Anonymous.
There you go, Anonymous. Go ahead.
Hi, George. This is a wonderful show, as they all are. And Dolores, what you're saying is just, like everybody else has said, just so personal and so, you know, right on. I'm like George. I was born in 1950. My birthday's next Monday, so I'm the same age as George. And
well,
I
happy
think he's
birthday.
Thank you. But
George said he was 93.
No, she's not 93.
Not 93. I am not 93, and I have
no.
93.
Okay.
Although I feel it sometimes. But you know, just what the last caller said about medicine and what you said, you are so right. I cannot take cold medicine. We don't take anything in our family that we don't absolutely have to. We don't take aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen, nothing. We use
good
herbal, you know, like echinacea for a cold and that sort of thing. And you're right, you don't need to take that. It's horrible for you. But I have two questions I want to ask you. The first one is, I want to know if you know who wrote the Bible and if it definitely is our instruction manual for earth and living. That's question number one.
Okay.
And question number two.
Let me answer that one first, or what?
You may, but I have another one I want to ask you, too, that's pretty provocative.
Okay, so just keep her on so we can do both, okay?
Okay.
Who wrote the Bible? Man.
Yes.
It was not written by the finger of God. In my books, I've written two books on Jesus, Jesus and the Essenes, and They Walked with Jesus. And I did a tremendous amount of research on where the Bible came from. And, you know, have you ever heard of the Council of Nicene?
Of course.
This is when they took all of the books and papers and stories, everything they had, and decided to form the Bible. And they put it all together. And it was many years later that they found other things they said should have gone in there that were much more important. But they said, sorry, it's written now. This is the way it is. And they said at the council, this is what we will say, Jesus said, this is what we will say happened. So it was not written by the hand of God. There's a lot of truth in it, but they, you know, the ones I work with, said it's more of a history book than anything else. It's got a good guideline, but use your own common sense. It's not the ultimate, not enough to fight wars over, which they've done in the past.
Exactly.
It is written by man.
Of course. I thought so, too. And I you know, although I do believe it, and they say, well, if you're of Christian faith and it is a religion based on faith,
yeah.
And you just have to accept things that you don't know, and this is the way it is, you know, which is fine, but you're right.
I always tell people to think for themselves.
Sure, but not something to start a war over.
You ask lots of questions, and then think for yourself and make up your own mind.
And you've got a second question. Go ahead, Anonymous.
My second question, and I want you to know I do not mean this in any derogatory way, in any way, and I'm just simply asking a question, but this is a thought that has come to me, and like you said, people have certain knowledge. I believe in old souls, I think that people know things for some reason, and I don't know why, but this is something that I want to ask about. I also believe that most of the humans on Earth were brought here from somewhere else. But my question to you is there an indigenous race of human beings on the Earth that did evolve like scientists say they have? So my question is, are we truly all alike? Are we all humans? Because there seems to be such a grave difference in some of our different cultures and other things. Just the way our bodies are made up are different.
Did you hear the first part of the show?
I missed it. I'm working, and I missed the first part, and I just got the second part, but I had to ask that question.
Okay, that's what I covered in the first part.
Well, give her a capsule. Hurry up.
Okay, no, we were nothing. There's no, the indigenous races were the ones that began, and they evolved, but they were helped along by the ETs. And when they got to the proper state, then human beings were genetically made from the monkeys. So there was never, they were not brought from somewhere else unless you think they brought the cells from other places. And that's when I asked them one time, where did the cells come from that you created us with? They said, it doesn't matter. They manipulated and combined cells from many different species in many different worlds to come up with what would work here in our primeval soup in our environment.
What about the story of Adam and Eve, Dolores? What do you think that is?
If you really look at it, you'll see it's just an allegory. Because, you know, here's Adam and Eve. They're in the garden, and all of that does make sense with what I've talked about. After they leave the garden and they're living out there, their sons marry other people. Where did the other people come from?
Okay, very good. Anonymous, thanks for that call. About a minute before the break, Dolores, so let's chat a little bit before we take more calls when we come right back. Where do people get your work, by the way? How do they track you?
How do they track me? Through my books.
Yeah, but where do they get them?
Well, they're everywhere.
Such as?
Well, you can get them on our website. You can get them on Amazon. We do a lot of business with Amazon because, you know, Ozark Mountain is my own company.
Right.
And we have about 40 other authors, and we're publishing constantly. And the books are translated all over the world in over 20 languages. They are in some bookstores. Now, some of them, you have to ask the bookstore to order them. But they used to be in all of them. Nowadays, it's harder and harder to get them into the bookstores. But they are available with Amazon, and they're available on our website. And when I lecture, we're always bringing books to sell. But they've been through many, many printings, and they've been available for 20 years.
All right. Well, we'll be back with final phone calls for you, Dolores, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And the next hour, we're going to talk about your health with a good doctor on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Dr. Len Saputo joins us, a return to healing. You are involved as well. We'll be taking your phone calls with Dr. Len Saputo. And when we come back, we'll take final phone calls with Dolores Cannon right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are with final phone calls now, and we'll go to Winnipeg, Canada. First of all, Lisa, it is your turn on the international line. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, George. What an honor to speak to you. I love you and your show.
Well, you're very kind.
And hello, Dolores.
Hello.
Hi. I'd like to ask a question that I've often wondered about, and to the previous callers. We may all be far apart, but obviously we're not alone. And what I'd like to ask is about people with negative blood types. There have been lots of speculations about where we came from and how did we get here, and this kind of blood doesn't seem to, no scientist seems to be able to answer how people on this planet have negative blood and, you know, how basically we got here and where we came from, and if that has anything to do with what you're speaking about.
I don't know. It's a possibility because, like I said, some of the genetics are different in these ones who have come because their energy had to be changed in order to come into a human body. It's always a possibility. Anything that's different could have come from some of the experimentation that was going on. But we have negative blood in my family, my husband's side, so it's hard to say.
But it's a good question. Maybe I'll ask about it sometime.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Next up, we've got Claudia in Petaluma, California. Hey, Claudia, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. I missed a lot of the program, but I got the gist of it. With these bright children and these bright people, I was the youngest of 13, and I, too, felt extremely strange, like when my name was called. It's like I had to look around. Who or what is Claudia, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, are a lot of these people, especially children, are they being deliberately diagnosed as mentally ill and put on these pills? And in other words, has the education system been totally infiltrated, or what's going on here? And then I have a second question shortly.
Well, let me answer one at a time.
Yes.
Okay, I don't think it's been infiltrated. I think that the teachers, the ones I've talked to, just don't understand these children. They're not being diagnosed as mentally ill. They're being diagnosed as attention deficit, overreactive. But, you know, even in our own kids, when they were little, we had some kids that acted up. But they said they act up too much in class. And as I said earlier, it's because they're bored. They're not mentally ill, and they should not be put on any kind of drugs.
Well, my daughter was shown a psychological test that was done on her my four-year-old, who's in kindergarten, and she just couldn't believe the questions asked. And she said, "Where does this come from?" And she says, "Well, it's part of our training." the little guy, Logan, he knows every piece that goes into any of his puzzles, any of his equipment, like Legos or whatever, if they pull apart. And you know how kids throw everything together in the room, like everything's mixed up?
Yeah.
And I remember I walked in and I pulled out this little metal piece and I said, what is this? And he says, "Oh, that's part of Wolverine. That goes over here." And he knew exactly where everything was, you know? But I was concerned that there's too much analysis going on and not enough teaching, you know?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out these kids because they don't understand. I had a client who said he was a child, and he's sitting there bored looking at the walls, and the teacher finally got around him, and he said, "I just want to ask the question, how many miles is it from here to the sun?"
Oh, my.
Had nothing to do with the class, and so the teacher got angry. But they're trying to keep everybody in the same mold that we were all in all these years.
Well, it's like numb and dumb. Numb and dumb them down.
Well, we have to realize this is a whole new generation of children that have to be treated differently.
I agree. And then the last question, very short. I remember years ago, Stanley Kubrick's movie came out, Clockwork Orange. That came out in 2001. And the same week that came out, there was a film from Britain called Oh, Lucky Man, and the theme was grafting animal bodies to human bodies.
Uh-huh.
So the upper body would be the man, and the lower part was a pig.
Ugh.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that we're going back some 30 years, you know, and I thought, it was horrifying, and I thought, oh, my God, and it was done for profit-making.
Well, that's what they said. We're going down the wrong road. We're repeating the same mistakes again.
Well, thank you, my dear.
Okay, and thank you.
Okay, next up, it's Steve's turn. Hackensack, New Jersey. Steven, thanks for holding.
Hi, George. Great show.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing? Well, I have a little statement and a quick question. I was born in 57, and about 30 years ago, I had a dream. I was arguing with some other adults in a very white place. So everybody had white robes on.
Okay.
I wanted to come to Earth. And I got up. They wanted me to wait for somebody. But I got on some kind of a platform. And the next thing I know, the dream kind of ended. But it seems like it was right before my birth.
Uh-huh.
And that dream has never left me for 30 years. And when you talk about this, it's like my life.
Okay.
Cool.
It is a true memory. It's a real memory. Because what you describe is what it's like on the spirit side.
Wow.
So it's real. That's when you'd already made your decisions and you were waiting to go and come into the body.
Hmm. Yeah, so, you know, I love this planet, and I definitely try to help people all my life.
That's what it's all about. We got to help each other.
And I have a question. You were saying that there are abductions every once in a while. And about a month ago, I had, you know, I was like lying in bed, and suddenly I couldn't move. Felt a lot of hands on me. And I just couldn't get up. It really upset me. I wasn't scared or anything, but I couldn't see anything. You know, the lights were on. There was just nobody there. So I said the word Jesus, and I was going to say to help me. And suddenly it was like you blinked, but I didn't blink. And the whole atmosphere changed and everything stopped. Why do they go away when you mention Jesus' name?
Well, whenever they realize you don't, you're aware of them and you don't like what's happening, then they have to stop because you're not supposed to be aware when things are going on. But see, they're always checking the body. Doesn't it make sense that they are checking their own people that they know are here? And no one has ever been abducted against their will. Everyone who had been abducted have agreed to this before coming into the earth. So all they're doing is keeping check on you to make sure you're healthy and everything is going okay. But you weren't supposed to know it. If you become aware of it, then they have to stop.
Dolores, I haven't really asked you yet about how people should cope with life after death or death by itself. You doing any more work in that area?
Well, I have a book on it that I wrote because I've written 15 books.
Yes, you have.
Oh, yeah. And the book, I had a last one just came out in July. But the book is called Between Death and Life. Right now, we're going into reprint on it again for I don't know how many times. It's been reprinted so many times. It tells you what happens when you die, what it's like to die, and where you go on the other side, all the other places it's possible to go to, what it's all about, and then how you make your plans, especially with other people you have to come back and repay karma with. See, there is no God sitting on a throne up there making judgment and dishing out punishment. You review your life and you make your own decisions. And you're the one that judges yourself and decides this is what I must do. There's no harsher judge than you yourself. So don't put it off on someone else. You have made your own decisions. You're here for a reason. When you understand that, it'll make it easier. Because before you can go into the new world, you have to get rid of any karma that's still hanging on. But death is not to be feared. You have died hundreds and hundreds of times. They said it's just like getting up from one chair and sitting down in another chair. There's no pain. There's nothing involved. All the people, and I've taken thousands and thousands through the death experience, they're just more than happy to get out of that body. They want to go home.
Yeah. Let's go to Eugene, Oregon. Michael, it's your turn with Dolores Cannon. Hi, Michael.
Hi. You know, it's like I'm sitting here in my room, and it's like it looks like the universe. It's like I have it decorated in fluorescence, and it's like one of my favorite movies is K-Pax.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't know, I just identify with it so much. Growing up, I used to joke around, and I've become more and more serious about it. To where it's like, I wonder when they're going to come back and pick me up, you know? And it's like, I've never felt like I fit here, you know? But I'm really outgoing. It's almost like I can read people's minds. I interact well with people. I'm spontaneous. I cause people to interact. I enjoy life. It's really, really neat that, you know, I've opened up and it's really cool. It's just really, I'm enjoying life. And it's true that we are here to help each other out. That's what it's all about.
But you have adjusted. How old are you?
I'm 56.
56?
Yes. It's obvious here. It's obvious to be kind instead of cruel, to be nice instead of mean, to be loving instead of hateful. There are dualities in the universe. When I was younger in elementary school, I was wondering, how come the kids are so mean to each other? You know? And I'm not boasting. I'm not an egotistical maniac or anything, but I'm extremely intelligent. I've I'm a world-class chess player. I won my city tournament when I was 12 years old. I don't even play chess anymore. It kind of bores me. But it's like there are answers to the universe. You know, a lot of people don't think about things. The show last night was interesting, you know.
Yeah, he was good. Gus won.
I emailed him. But it's like getting back to you. There goes the train. I live right next to the train track.
Get off the tracks, Michael. Yeah, off the tracks.
It's really cool, though. I got a neat little spot. But I'm just extremely happy, and I get up every morning, and I guess I've adjusted quite well, you know. But
yes.
I go out, and I could be a talk show host.
Okay.
George, I want your job.
One
other thing I wanted to ask, is there any way that we could have a convention with all of your listeners?
Well, we pop all over the place. I'm going to Albuquerque soon, Chicago. We do that. I'm not sure we can have one big one. Maybe I've always told our sales department I'd like to do a cruise.
And
do a live broadcast that way. That would be
cool. Well, but George, can I tell the audience I will be in the L.A. area November the 1st.
Are you? Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to be doing a talk and also one of my classes in the L.A. area, November 1st. Then the middle of November, I'll be in Minneapolis at the EDGE conference. So you can find out all this by checking my website. It has all the information.
Great. And, Michael, thanks for your call. We'll take a couple more calls here. We'll go to Roanoke, Virginia. Jason, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jason, go for it.
Hey, George. Hey, Doris. How y'all doing?
Great.
Okay.
Great. I just wanted to start out by saying this is the second time today I've willed a phone call. I've been trying to call you for years, and I finally got through. So anyway, my question for Dolores was, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure you studied this, but I go to a counselor, and he's diagnosed me as a phlegmatic choleric thinker. And I was just wondering if you had found any correlation between the volunteers and, like, maybe the way they think or whatever. I didn't know if you had studied that or if that was anything that you had, you know, embarked on.
If you heard the other callers, you have an idea the way they think. They are very psychic. They use their psychic abilities.
Yes, ma'am.
And they seem to all be in that same pattern.
Right.
And if you have that, you have anything psychic, or if you feel like you don't belong here, you want to go home. They do think a lot about things and try to analyze things.
Right.
So
right
that's the only thing I could think of right off the top of my head.
Right on. I was just curious because I know the choleric thinkers is like less than 1% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt real different, you know, and so I just didn't know if you had, like, studied that in particular or not. I didn't know. So.
Yeah, you're probably one of them. You're probably one of the group. Okay.
No doubt. Well, I appreciate the call. It was an honor to be on, and I'll be listening, you know, like I always do. Look forward to hearing more great stories.
Okay. See, George, there's more of them out there than you think.
Now, how do we know you're not one?
Oh, I'm a lot older than that.
Well, you go over the you go. How old are you? I'm not going to ask you that.
What?
I'm not going to ask you how old you are.
Well, I'm a lot older than people think.
Let's go to Santa Maria, California. Maria, first-time caller. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question in regards to an experience I had when I have a small child, and when he was a baby, one time I looked at him. It was he was sleeping. And I had the lights were out, but it was kind of lit because there's bright lights outside. And I looked at him, and I saw the face of a very old man, and it really frightened me.
That's
so
scary.
I turned on the light very, very quickly, I thought, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I was very frightened, and it happened another time. Can you tell me what you think that was?
I've got a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That if you know about reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
and we come back again and again. And before we come back, we make contracts with different souls to come back together. And we've been together many, many lifetimes in different roles. We can play all different parts. This is only a play anyway. That's all it is. It's an illusion. It's a play. You can play many parts. Very possible that in another lifetime, he was an old man that you were connected with in some way or another, maybe a teacher, and you agreed to reincarnate together. And in that kind of a situation, when it's dark and you're in more or less of an altered state than you think you are, you might have got a glimpse of your association in another lifetime. It scared you because you didn't know what was happening. But believe me, it's not negative. It's just a memory there that you've had association with him before.
Dolores, over the next couple of years, what can we all expect as we get close to 2012? Minute to go.
What's happening now, our bodies are being affected because in order to shift with the planet, the body also has to shift. The vibrations and frequencies of our body have to alter. And this has been happening since 2003, and a lot of people don't understand it because they said you can't change the frequency immediately. It'd be too much. The energy would be too high. It would destroy the body. So it has to be done in steps. And many people are experiencing things they don't understand. There will be physical effects. Some of them are like high blood pressure, heart palpitations, you know, the AFib, when they have the heart problems, or depression, stomach problems, dizziness. Dizziness is another sign.
Joint aches and pains. Signs to look for, Dolores. Thanks for being on the program. Dolores Cannon, her website, OzarkMountMT.com. When we come back, Dr. Len Saputo talks with us about your health.